Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. We are going to be celebrating our feast here in the fall over this next couple weeks. So we're going to be starting talking about Feast of Trumpets this week. And, you know, his feast means something to us even as believers today. You know, his spring feast, they talked about and they showed Israel what would happen when Yeshua, their Messiah, came the first time around. Passover spoke of how he would die upon that cross for our sins. Unleavened bread spoke about how he would be buried in that tomb. And then we have first fruits are the day that he resurrected from that grave. And what's very interesting is that last one of him resurrecting from the grave is what we're going to be celebrating first here in the fall with the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets preaches that on his second coming, we're going to hear the sound of that trumpet in the sky. And as Paul says, we're going to hear the last trumpet call. So we as believers in Yeshua should be waiting in anticipation to hear that trumpet call in the sky. And we're going to talk about what's going to happen and what that resurrection means to us as believers today and what it's going to mean for us in the future. We are going to come out of this body that is corrupted. This corruptible body will put on incorruption. And that's what we're looking forward to. And each year when we celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, we are reminding ourselves and teaching ourselves that he is coming back a second time. And we need to be preparing ourselves as the bride for his second coming. And if we do not believe in that, then we have a serious problem in our faith and what we're doing. So let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Now, if Messiah is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Messiah has been raised. And if Messiah has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. So here's Paul talking about the resurrection. There were those at that time who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. But the Feast of Trumpets is teaching us and pointing us to the fact that there is this resurrection from the dead. The Feast of First Fruits is teaching us and showing us that there is a resurrection. Okay? So what Paul is saying, if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Messiah himself has not been raised. So if you believe that Messiah has been raised from the grave, from the dead, that he died upon that cross, and then 3 days later he resurrected from the tomb, then you believe there is a resurrection from the dead. If you do not believe in that resurrection, then your preaching is in vain, or as he says, your faith also is in vain. So the cornerstone of our faith as believers in Yeshua starts with the fact that Yeshua died upon that cross for us, and he resurrected from the grave. Now, there is so much reason, there is so much depth into why that is the case because of what his resurrection means to us as believers. You know, as Paul speaks about in Romans, his resurrection from the grave, from the dead, gives us resurrection power in our lives. It is a thing that defeats sin in our lives. If he just died on the cross, then there would be atonement for our sin, but sin would not be defeated. Death would not be defeated. Messiah had to resurrect from the grave. The idea of when Adam and Eve was created in the garden and God breathed life into their souls, they were a body that was in incorruption. Their bodies were not on a path unto death. It wasn't until they sinned in the garden that now death entered into this world and into their body. So they were created to be an eternal being living on earth. But they sinned, and because they sinned, corruption entered into their bodies. And now we, because of their sin, have been born in this corruption. And we have all sinned, and we all have this corruption of sin in our life. In order for sin to fully be defeated in our lives, death must be defeated in our lives. And in order for that death to be defeated, Yeshua had to die. His blood had to be given in order to have that atonement for our sins, to have that covering of our sins. But his resurrection is what defeated sin and death. So we as believers today can begin to walk and experience what it means to defeat sin in our lives. And in one day in the future, death will be defeated. Death is the final victory that Yeshua will achieve when death is done away with. And that will occur at his second coming. Now let's look at verse 15. Moreover, we were even found to be false witnesses of God because we bore witness against God that he raised Messiah, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Messiah has been raised. And if Messiah has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. So without his resurrection, we are still in our sin. The resurrection is what defeats the sin. We can't just believe in the fact that he died upon the cross. We must believe that he resurrected from the grave. And in order to believe he resurrected from the grave, we must believe there is a resurrection from the dead for all. Without resurrection, without believing in that resurrection, without the resurrection occurring, we are still in our sin. Sin is not defeated in our lives. Our goal as a believer, of someone who is walking with Yeshua, is to no longer be conformed into the image of this world, to be conformed to this world, to walk as this world walks, to behave as they walk, to think like they walk. But we have been called to walk just as Yeshua walked, to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. So as believers of Yeshua, we are called to look like Yeshua, not like the world. And in order to do that, in order for us to be transformed into his image, to think like he thought, to be one with him in his thoughts, to be one with him in his desires, and to do as he did, to walk just as he walked, we have to believe that he resurrected from the grave. And we have to believe that that resurrection power is living in us, that we are a being having been baptized in water. That's where water baptism is important. It teaches us and it symbolizes a message that we are brought down. We are dunked into that water, submerged underneath the water. And that symbolizes his death upon that cross. That is us dying to our old man. That is us dying to conformity unto this world. And then we're raised out of that water into newness of life. This is where we are saying that we are coming out of the water just as he resurrected out of that grave. And now we are walking in newness of life. Or we are walking just as Yeshua walked. We are walking in the image of Yeshua. We have been called to walk in this resurrection power, to die to ourselves and to walk in his righteousness, to walk in set apartness, in holiness. How do we walk in what is righteous? How do we walk in what is holy? Well, Paul says in Romans that God's law, his Torah, is righteous, it is good, and it is holy. His law lays out to us what righteousness is. His law lays out what is holy. And when we walk in obedience to his law, we are walking in righteousness. We are walking in holiness. So we have been crucified. We have put to death the old man, the flesh that is at war with God's law. And now we walk in submission to his law through his resurrection power. And without his resurrection, we will not have the capability or the power to walk in that newness of life. We will not have the power to walk in obedience to his Torah. It was his resurrection from the grave that gives us the ability to walk in obedience. No man can walk in obedience to God's law without believing and knowing and having Yeshua resurrect from that grave. Let's look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 24. But for our sake also, to whom it will be counted, as those who believe upon him who raised Yeshua our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over an account of our transgressions and was raised on account of our justification. So he was delivered because of our transgressions. That's why he was delivered over. He was raised on account of our justification. It required both. It required his death. Our transgressions, our sins, our wickedness, Adam sinning in that garden, is what caused him to be delivered and handed over to be crucified upon that cross. And it was him being raised from the grave that justifies us, that sets us right, that puts us in right standing before the eyes of the holy God. Yahweh is holy. That which approaches him must be clean. Nothing that is unclean can approach him. That is why they had to shed the blood of an innocent animal to draw near unto him. Now, Yeshua was the innocent one who shed his blood for us. And then having been raised from the grave, now all that is done away with. Sin has been dealt with. Now, all we have to do is look to him, believe that he died upon that cross, believe that he raised from the grave, and we are justified. We are seen as being in right standing before the holy God. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Messiah have perished. If we have hoped in Messiah in this life only, we are all of men most to be pitied. What Paul is saying here, that if you have belief in Yeshua, but you do not believe in the resurrection from the dead, then you are to be pitied the most of all men. So why have the faith that you have now if you don't believe in the resurrection? Why believe? Why work to be conformed into the image of Yeshua? Why try to be obedient unto his law and do what is right if you do not believe in the resurrection? For all that you're doing, as he said before, is vain. And you are to be pitied. It is foolishness to want to hope in Messiah, to want to walk and be obedient unto his law, to do what is right in his eyes, but yet not to believe in the resurrection from the dead. Because what we're living for is what is ahead. We're not living for the now. We're living for the future. For what we're going and experiencing now is just a blimp. It's just a speckle on the timeline of an eternity that lies ahead of us. But if you take out the eternity part, what's the point of what we're going through today? It is the future that gives us hope. It is a future that causes us to press forward and to move forward. It's living for eternity, not for the now. And so as we're celebrating the Feast of Trumpets this year, let's remind ourselves that he is coming back a second time. He is going to blow that trumpet. As we blow the trumpets this year on the Feast of Trumpets, he is coming back. And when he comes back, we need to be prepared. So we set our hope and we live for what is ahead, for the eternity that lies ahead, not for the here and now. Put our hope in that. And in putting our hope in that, we as his bride should be preparing ourselves for his return. Because he is returning for a bride who is without spot and without wrinkle, who is clothed in white. So first of all, that means that we have been washed in the blood of Yeshua. We believe that Yeshua died upon that cross for our sins and he resurrected from that grave. And then we begin to work on sanctifying ourselves, of transforming ourselves into the image of Yeshua, doing as he did, walking as he did. And what did he do? He obeyed God's law, his Torah, perfectly. That is how we prepare ourselves for his return. And our hope, as we're preparing ourselves, as we go through the persecution and the suffering that we experience in the here and the now, is the hope and the joy that we're going to experience in the future when we reign with him and the new Jerusalem for eternity. Now let's look at verse 20. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Messiah we all may be made alive. So through Adam, death came. And by Adam, we all die. We will all die one day. But in Messiah, we will all be made alive by his resurrection. His resurrection is what overturned what Adam did in the garden. That is where he gained victory over the devil. So look at verse 23. But each in his own order, Messiah the first fruits, after that those who are in Messiah's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, right? Until all has been put under his foot. Okay? So he is sitting there, and as his plan plays out, he is eventually going to take rule over all the kingdoms of this earth. He will gain all authority and power on this earth once again at his time, when he says it's right, when God the Father says it is right. He will have all authority. He will have abolished all other rule and authority and power on this earth. He is going to lock Satan up. Adam gave dominion to Satan when he sinned in that garden. And so now Satan is free to roam through this earth and do his work. But that work is going to come to an end. One day, Yeshua is going to defeat him. His time will be up. And the last enemy to be abolished is death. So when he sounds that trumpet, and those who are dead are resurrected from the grave, and those who are alive on earth will take their next step in the atmosphere, we who have on this corruption will put on incorruption. Death will be defeated, and he will have abolished all authority and power on this earth. And we will be fully victorious. We have his victory now, and we can walk in his victory. But we are not fully experiencing his victory. We are not fully experiencing what it's going to be like for this body to put on incorruption. And one day we will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a corruptible body. It is raised an incorruptible body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So we currently are living in a natural body. a body that is corruptible. But there is also a body that is incorruptible. There is a body of flesh, and there is a spiritual body. There is a body of us that is of dishonor, that is our flesh, the fallen, sinful man, inherited from Adam. And then there is a body of glory obtained by the resurrection of Yeshua. There is a body that has weakness, and then there is this body that has power because of the resurrection of Yeshua. So there's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. As is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. So we are currently living in an earthy body. The earthy body must come first. But when he sounds that trumpet, the second man, which is the heavenly man, the heavenly body, will now be what we inherit. We will put on that which is heavenly. We will put on that which is incorruptible. This body here, which is weak and gets sick and gets injured and ages and is frail at times, will be done away with. It had to come first. But there is a spiritual that is coming second. There is a heavenly body that is incorruptible, that bears the image of heaven. This body bears the image of earth. But when he sounds that trumpet, we will put on a body that bears the image of the heavenlies, that bears the image of God and Yeshua. It will be a body of incorruption. This earthly body cannot enter into the gates of the heavenlies. We must put on the heavenly body first. And that is done first by the resurrection of Yeshua. And then at the second trumpet calling, when we are resurrected from the dead and we put on this heavenly body. Let's look at verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on the incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible puts on the incorruptible, and this mortal puts on immortality, then will come about the word that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? When he sounds that trumpet and we put on the incorruptible body, which will no longer be able to get sick, it will not get hurt, it will not be frail, it will not be weak, it will be strong. In power, it will be glorious. It will be heavenly. When we put on immortality, we will put on immortality. And when we do, then the words will be spoken, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Think about this. When he sounds that trumpet and you put on immortality, you will be the evidence that Yeshua has to show unto the devil that death has been swallowed up in victory. That where is your victory, O death? Where is your sting? You are going to be his evidence that he is defeated. Well, hallelujah. That is wonderful to think about, that we get to be the picture, the image, the example, his showcase unto the evil one, that he was defeated. The one who has tried to rob and steal from us will look at us and see that he has been defeated. So this season, as we sound the trumpets, let's remind ourselves that he is coming back a second time. We have his resurrection power in our lives working right now. But he is coming back a second time. And when he does, we will put on immortality. The devil will be defeated. We will walk in a fullness of victory. So let's prepare ourselves this season to make sure that we are a bride who is without spot, without wrinkle, who is ready for his second coming. And let's look and hope for the future and look at what the future has in store for us so we can press and move on and forward through the here and the now. Because what he has for us in the future is so worth what we're going through right now. Well, I hope that you have a wonderful and blessed Feast of Trumpets this year. And we are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching. We will be back again next week as we continue through the fall feast season. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.